I've been thinking about something for a little while. And I was remembering, there's a whole song I remember said, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. That's it. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believe. If you know that, let's sing that again. Let's sing that again. Take me back. That's it right there. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first receive you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believe. I was thinking about that because how many of y'all remember when you first got saved, when you first came to know the Lord? You was goofy about Jesus. You did some of the most ridiculous things because you loved him so. You remember those times? You remember when you would go without eating for a few days on end? I remember one time I was fasting so long I had forgotten to eat. I wasn't drinking any water. And one day I found myself at the water fountain drinking water. And I said, oh, Lord, I repent. He's like, if you don't drink some water, you're going to die, boy. Drink some water because the body has to have some water. You can go without food a lot longer than you can without water. I remember those times. I remember those times when I was walking around reading my Bible and I was so engrossed in what was on the pages. I was walking into people. I was running into poles. I was tripping over stuff because I was so engrossed in what was on the pages. I remember a time when I would pray for hours on end. And you know what? I wasn't always talking during those times. There were times when I was just being silent. I said all I knew to say. And I was just kneeling there. And there was countless times where the Lord would whisper something. And I would go out and tell somebody else, and they said, nah, he didn't tell you that. And that caused me to wonder. But when it came to pass, I thought to myself, that was the Lord. And I started paying close attention to that. I remember a time when I would go to church service, it wouldn't matter what song they sang, I was going to get my praise on. You know what I'm saying? There was a time when I needed to wear track shoes because I might take off running in the sanctuary, because God was just that good. Y'all remember the time? Then what happened? What happened when we got to a place where life came in? And we don't read the Bible like we used to read. We get a little snack here and there. Don't pray like we used to. Caught myself the other day just hopping in the bed. Get up in the morning, hit the ground running. That night, hop in the bed. Get up that morning, hit the ground running. Throughout the day, oh, Lord, man, I forgot, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I wasn't praying like I used to. Yeah, I'm talking to him throughout the day, but hey, look, there's something special about carving out a space where you and the Lord can have some communion, some fellowship, some time together. Any relationship needs that to thrive, needs that to survive. Husbands and wives, y'all know what I'm talking about. So what happened? I forgot something. I forgot what it meant to just linger. L-I-N-G-E-R, linger. To stay a little longer than necessary or usual. It's like an unwillingness to leave a place because something there has drawn your attention in your heart and you just want to stay a little while. Have you ever been in a church service where the Lord touched you? Maybe not everybody else, but the Lord touched you in a way that caused you to just, man, I don't want to go. You didn't want to get up from the altar. You hung around in the lobby, and you just talked to people, and everybody else was leaving. But something in you was like, I just don't want to leave right now. You wanted to linger. You wanted to stay just a little while longer where you were. Video man, would you put that scripture from Exodus 33, 7 through 11 on the screen, please. And you guys, I still got work for you. Just a moment, okay? I ain't going to be long at this. Okay. I need some spectacles. It says here, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord, say sought the Lord, they went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. And so it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of a cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. Y'all know about the pillar of a cloud by day and the pillar of a fire by night. As the children of Israel were going through the wilderness journeys, that represented God's presence, that cloud and that fire. And that's what I pray to touch our lives, the cloud of God, his presence, his fire, and stood at the door. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and did what? Worship, each man in his tent door. And it says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. That last part there. Moses returned to the camp, but Joshua, his servant, stayed. He lingered. He stayed. Something about the presence of God drew him, arrested his attention, and called him and said, Moses, you go take care of business, but I'm gonna stay a while. He did not depart from the tabernacle. You could say, okay, we stayed a little while after church. I know we gotta go. We got things to do this afternoon. But what I'm challenging you to do today, for the rest of your life, really, is that at the Lord's gentle nudging, you would respond and linger. Linger. Something happens when you get in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11 says that there's joy in the presence of, in the presence of the Lord. If you read in Numbers chapter 17, around verse 1-8, you're gonna find out that there was some rebellion that rose up in the camp in chapter 16. Korah and his people rose up and talked about Moses and Aaron. Look here, we the people of God too, and we can do all this stuff. But anyway, God said, tell you what, Moses, bring the rod from every tribe and put it in the tent of the meeting. And guess what? The rod that blossoms and blooms, that's the one I've called. So overnight, every staff of every tribal leader had been put in the presence of the Lord. And that morning, Aaron's rod had blossomed, had budded, had bore almonds. A stick, y'all, that had been separated from his life source for God knows how long. He had been carrying it. But overnight, this thing produced almonds, bore flowers, budded in the presence of the Lord. And if we'll spend a little time in God's presence, those dead things in our lives will produce some fruit. That's why lingering is so important. This day and age we live in is surrounded by distractions, all kinds of things competing for our attention. But if you come aside, like Jesus told the disciples in Mark 6:31, come aside, rest a while, spend some time with me, and watch what I'll do. That thing you've been struggling with, that situation you can't overcome, those things that have got you pinned to the floor and you can't get up, spend some time with me and watch me move it. Because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by God's spirit that these things happen. God will do it. God will do it. Now, the background, I was going to spend a lot of time talking about Exodus 1 all the way up to this point here. God has showed himself mighty in the children of Israel. You've read the book. You've heard sermon after sermon on all the things, the Red Sea, the plagues, and all these different things. You've heard it. When we get over to chapter 32, in verse 1, because Moses lingered for 40 days on the mountaintop getting the commandments, the people of God said, look here, Aaron, we don't know what happened at Moses, so make us some gods to go before us. And he did. And God was going to slay all of them. But Moses stepped in. And Joshua was able to watch all of this. It touched him in such a way to where would spend time with the Lord. My challenge to you today, begin to play that softly, heart of worship. My challenge to you today is that at the Lord's gentle nudging, it's gentle. He don't kick down doors. That's not him. But at the Lord's gentle nudging, that slight touch, that whisper, that you take time and say, you know what, I'm going to be still for a minute. It might be this afternoon, instead of spending time watching the football game, you shut that thing off. Get your Bible, your notebook, your pen, and seek the Lord and find out what he's saying today. It might be that in the morning, instead of hitting that snooze button for an extra 10 minutes or so, you crawl out of bed and kneel right there and say, Lord, you know, I don't even know what to say, but I present myself to you. And I need you, Lord, to work in me, because I got situations that I'm facing that I can't overcome on my own. It might be that tonight, when you're tired, bone tired, ready to go to sleep, instead of going directly to bed after that shower, you turn the lamp on. Open up your Bible to that passage of scripture in Exodus 33, 7 through 11, and read how the people who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and read how Joshua, after Moses went back in, Joshua stayed a while. Maybe you want to read Psalms 132, 1 through 5, another scripture that I had him put up there, and I just briefly pointed out to you. Psalms 132, 1 through 5, it says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how everything he went through, and how because of those things he went through, he swore to you that he would not rest, he would not lay on his bed, he would not do any of those things until I find a place for the Lord. They say, I'm not going to go anywhere, do anything, until God got room in my life. I'm making room. I'm making room. I challenge you today, if you don't know the Lord today, you've never met him for yourself personally, you done heard about him, you done been to church services, you done heard everybody else talk about him and everything, but you really don't have a personal relationship with him today, I want you to be challenged today. I want to invite you to make room for God in your life today. Don't be like those people in Luke chapter 2 that didn't have no room for him in the end. Look, I'll tell you now, my life was tore up from the floor up, messed up from the chest up. I was in bad shape till he found me. And he picked me up by the nape of my neck, and I'm kicking and screaming and fighting against him. But he said, boy, don't you know I love you? Don't you understand that the thoughts that I think toward you are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future? Don't you understand that I got plans for you that you can't even fathom yet? Your eyes ain't seen it. Your ears ain't heard it. It hadn't entered into your heart yet. I challenge you. Somebody up in here don't know him. And you're more concerned about everybody else than you getting it right with him today. Make room for him in your life. Make room for him in your life. For you, saint, that already know him, that been walking with him for a number of years, but things have gotten a little stale. I want to challenge you to again make room for him in your life. Make room for him. Don't let just the songs we sing in here be all that's on your lips today and throughout the rest of the week something else. Make room. Make room. Make room for him. Make room for him. I want to invite the ministry team to come down. I want you to minister to whoever comes to the altar, if anyone's come. Maybe they don't want. I don't know. If the Lord ain't drawing you, then I can't do it. I can't do it. But I'm coming back to the heart of worship, cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I did, cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about him. Listen, listen, don't let this day slip away. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. You are not promised tomorrow. I'm getting getting ready to get in the car and go back down to South Carolina. About a 4.5-5 hour drive. I'm not guaranteed to make it. Really and truly, I'm not guaranteed. I want to go home. You know what I'm saying? I want to go see my family. And God willing, as soon as I can, get back up here. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that you're going to make it home when you leave here today. I think in this past year, there was somebody in this church that there was an accident and some loved ones lost their lives. None of us have any guarantees. So will you be ready when that time comes? Make room for him, people. Men, women of God, make room for him. Make room for him. Make room for him. Make room for him. Because it's all about him. It's all about him. It is all about him. It is all about him. So I challenge you again. I'm not going to browbeat you. God, I hate when people heap a lot of guilt and condemnation on somebody just to get a response and all. If the Lord ain't drawing out, what am I going to do? Praise the Lord. It's his work. Because guess what? After I'm gone, he's still here. And he worked. He chased me down after I left the church service after that night. That man preached about hell and told me I was going there if I didn't get right. So I ran out of that service and God ran right behind me. So you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't. You can run like Usain Bolt. You can't get away from him. Not the high sheriff of glory. So God is calling us today to make room for him in our life. To linger. To spend a little extra time. I'm not saying spend hours on end. But I am encouraging you to carve out some space for him to work in your life. Carve out some space. Let's all bow. Let's all bow. Keep playing. Because it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back, Lord, to the heart of worship. Because it's all about you. Yes, it is. Said it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. Because it's all about you. Amen. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm in Jesus' name, I delivered the mail as you had given it to me. And I'm really not moved by responses or lack thereof, because as long as I know I did what you said, dude, you got it. And you'll cause some fruit to come forth, Lord, that is unmistakably yours. And so that's my prayer today, Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by anything that we can do, it's by your Spirit. You are the life changer. You are the God of all creation. You are the one that breathed life into a cloud of a dust pile and it lived. And so, Lord, I pray that you will breathe on us here today. I know, Lord, firsthand that we all got some stuff that needs your touch. Some hurting places in our lives that need your touch. Somebody has some unkind words spoken to them, and those words are still festering in their hearts today and causing them to live less than what you called them to live. Some, Father, still battling, Father, with that image of they have of themselves, Father, and feeling inadequate and inferior. It's a place that needs your touch, Lord. A place that needs your touch. Some are lonely, Lord, and just need that companionship, Lord, and been struggling through life and feeling like nobody loves them. Place where they need your touch, Lord, so they know that you love them, that you love them unconditionally. So, Lord, we just chose to linger for a minute. stay right there where you are right there, in that place where your eyes are closing and it's just you and the Lord and your thoughts right now. Stay in that place right there, in that place right there. Y'all keep playing that just softly like you are. I want to shut up and let the Lord touch and move. Because when he moves, guess what? It's unmistakable. Just stay right there for a little while. It's all about you. Said it's all about you. Said it's all about you. I know it's uncomfortable when you kind of like don't know what to do in a situation like this, but he understands. It's okay to sit in prayer and not know what to say. He knows you. He knows you. I believe he gave me specific instructions. That's, Rob, get away from the program just a little bit and give me space. Give me space. Give me space. He's working on some dead places now. He's working on some dead places. Some places that's been stunted. Some places where ain't no life been there. No evidence of life for a long time. But he's working on some places now. Thank you, Lord. 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 I sing more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you will require. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into our hearts, Lord. Uh-huh. So we coming back, Lord, to the heart of worship. To that heart of worship, to that place, Lord, where we are surrendered to you and we say, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way. Lord, I thank you for what you have done here today and what you will continue to do.